All right, let's jump in our time machine today. Buckle up, because we're going way back to 445 BC, destination, ancient Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, picture it, a city in ruins.
Okay.
Walls crumbled, gates burned.
Not good.
No, not a pretty sight. It really makes you think about how important those walls were, you know, for protection, but also like a symbol of strength.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. This was like, what, over 100 years after the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem?
Yeah, something like 140 years, actually.
So they had rebuilt the temple, but those walls, still a big problem. A constant reminder of how vulnerable they were.
Living under a shadow. And that's where our main character, Nehemiah, enters the scene.
Nehemiah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. He's not a king, not a priest. He's a cupbearer to the Persian king Artaxerxes.
A cupbearer. Okay, so like responsible for the king's drinks.
Exactly. He tasted the king's wine to prevent poisoning. A pretty important job, right?
Oh, for sure. Close to the center of power.
High trust. But then he leaves it all behind to go rebuild Jerusalem. Why? Well, our main source for this deep dive, a lecture by Dr. Tiberius Rada, suggests it all boils down to his faith.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And that faith is put to the test right away.
Oh.
His brother, Hanani, comes back from Jerusalem, and he does not hold back. He describes the city, the broken walls, the burned gates, the people just completely demoralized. Tough to hear, right?
Yeah.
Nehemiah's reaction is intense, like really intense. He weeps, he mourns, fasts, and prays for days. Dr. Rada even compares him to other biblical figures who wept, like, you know, Jeremiah, Jesus, Paul, showing how much they cared.
Interesting. It's like that vulnerability, that raw emotion is actually a sign of strength, isn't it?
Totally. And then there's Nehemiah's prayer. It's powerful stuff. He acknowledges God's power, right? He confesses his own sins and the sins of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes a step further. He reminds God of his covenant promises.
Covenant promises.
Yeah, like, you know, in the Old Testament, God made a covenant with his people, promised to bless and protect them if they stayed faithful to him. Nehemiah basically says, hey, God, remember your part of the deal.
Clever. So we've got Nehemiah, this man of faith, heartbroken over Jerusalem. But let's not forget, he's still the king's cupbearer.
Right, in the Persian court, all that pomp and ceremony, and he's supposed to be, like, reflecting the king's joy.
Yeah.
But he's obviously carrying this huge burden, and the king notices, asks him what's wrong. Can you imagine the pressure?
Oh, yeah.
But here's where Nehemiah gets really smart. He doesn't just blurt out, hey, king, can I go fix Jerusalem?
Right.
Instead, he talks about his ancestors' graves being there, appealing to the king's respect for, you know, honoring the dead.
Oh, smart. Tapping into those cultural values.
Totally. But before he even speaks, he prays silently to God.
Right there in the moment.
Yeah. Showing his dependence on, you know, divine guidance.
And what happens?
Well, the king grants his request. Gives him safe passage, resources, even letters of authority.
Wow, that's incredible.
Right. It's like that proverb, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. So Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem, and what's the first thing he does?
I don't know. What, a big speech to rally everyone?
Nope. He goes out at night to inspect the walls himself.
Oh, right.
Yeah, in secret, to get a sense of the scale of the task, I guess.
Showing his dedication, his humility.
And when he finally does address the people, he says, let us rise up and build. It's this call to action, to shared responsibility.
Well, not just him being the hero.
Exactly. But, of course, it wouldn't be a good story without some conflict.
Right.
And that's where Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem come in. These guys, they mock him, accuse him, try to stop him every step of the way.
Classic.
And Dr. Rada makes an interesting point about this. He says opposition often means you're doing something right. You know, shaking things up.
Challenging the status quo. I like that.
Right. And what's really interesting is how Nehemiah reacts, if rather doesn't react. He doesn't get caught up in arguing. He just focuses on the task at hand.
Smart. Pick your battles.
Totally. So we see this amazing story unfolding, right? It's about rebuilding these walls, sure. But it's also about faith, leadership, and facing opposition head on.
I'm hooked already. What happens next?
Okay, so we've got the call to action. Everyone's ready to rebuild. But like, actually rebuilding this wall, that's where things get, you know, really real.
I mean, it was a huge EE project.
Massive. Think about all the logistics, getting the stone, making the mortar, all the back and forth. Plus, these people had their own lives, you know, families to feed, work to do.
Yeah, and don't forget, people trying to stop them the whole time.
Oh, right. Always that pressure.
Yeah.
But they somehow managed. Dr. Rana talks about how Nehemiah was really smart about, like, delegating the work. He split it up among families, different groups, each one responsible for a section of the wall.
Smart move. breaks down the work, but also gives everyone a sense of ownership, you know?
Totally. Like, we're all in this together. Like a giant puzzle. Everyone has their piece. But let's not forget about Sandalot, Tobiah, and Geshem. They weren't just going to sit back and watch.
Oh, no. They kept at it. Ridicule, threats, even trying to spread rumors and plan attacks.
Wow. So much drama. But Nehemiah and the people, they didn't give up. They armed themselves, put guards in place, just worked tirelessly.
They had their eyes on the prize. And it's interesting because Dr. Rutta points out that this kind of resistance, it often means you're doing something right. You're actually making a difference, you know, threatening the status quo.
And that takes serious resilience, right?
For sure. Like discouragement, it's normal, human, but it doesn't have to be the end. Look at Nehemiah. Clear vision, faith, and a whole lot of grit. And they actually pulled it off.
It's pretty amazing. And don't forget, Nehemiah was praying through it all, asking for guidance, for protection, for unity.
It really shows how grounded he was, you know? His leadership wasn't about him, it was about something bigger.
And it wasn't just about the physical rebuilding, right? They were rebuilding lives, rebuilding hope.
Yeah, Dr. Rutta talks about how Nehemiah even tackled social injustices, helping the poor, rebuilding the community. It was about more than just the wall.
It was about, like, healing the wounds of the past, creating a better future.
It's like a lesson for us today, you know? When we're facing problems, it's not just about fixing the practical stuff.
Right. It's about the emotional, the social, even the spiritual, seeing the whole picture.
And the best part, they actually did it. After 52 days of nonstop work, the wall was finished.
Wow. Can you imagine that celebration? The relief. The joy.
I bet it was incredible.
It's like this testament to what people can achieve when they work together, when they have a shared vision. It gives me chills.
And it wasn't just about feeling safe again, that wall. Mm. It became a symbol of their resilience, their hope.
It represented them, you know, their identity, their heritage. But as much as we'd love to end there with that happy ending, Dr. Rutta says, hold on, the story's not over yet.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. The wall. It was just the beginning. Now it was time for the really deep stuff.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What happens next?
So we've seen the physical rebuilding, the city's secure. Now the focus shifts to, like, the spiritual and social transformation.
It's interesting.
It's like the wall was the foundation, the safe space they needed to start rebuilding their lives, their community, their relationship with God.
Makes sense.
And that's where Ezra comes in. Remember him? The priest and scribe.
Oh, yeah. He was there to revive their religious life, right?
Exactly. Now, with the city safe, he and Nehemiah, they team up to, like, guide the people back to their faith, back to the covenant.
So we got two leaders now.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see how they work together, each one with their own strengths, you know? Like, a reminder that teamwork, that diversity, it's so important for real change.
Totally. They complemented each other.
And their goal wasn't just about, like, forcing rules on people. It was about rekindling that sense of purpose, that connection to something bigger than themselves.
But remember, these people had been through a lot.
Right.
Years of exile, hardship, getting back to that deep faith. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, Dr. Rutta talks about how there was resistance, compromises, even times when they slipped back into old ways.
Human nature, right. Change is hard.
But Nehemiah and Ezra, they didn't give up. They kept teaching, encouraging, reminding everyone of their commitment to God.
They were building people, not just walls.
Yeah.
Shaping hearts and minds.
What a powerful image. And it makes you think about their legacy, right? It's not just about achieving goals. It's about investing in people, creating lasting change.
It's inspiring. So where do we go from here?
Okay, so we've seen the walls rebuilt, city's safe, people are back to their faith. Awesome, right. But how does this ancient story, you know, connect to us today? We're not exactly rebuilding walls, right?
Well, that's where the metaphor comes in. Dr. Rutta, he wants us to think about what walls need rebuilding in our own lives, in our communities. What are those things that make us feel vulnerable?
Yeah, like broken relationships, maybe lack of trust, that feeling of like being alone, even when surrounded by people.
Exactly. Those cracks in our foundation, whether it's personal or in our communities. And just like back then, when you try to fix those things, you're going to face pushback.
People who like things the way they are, who benefit from, you know, keeping those walls broken.
Right. But Nehemiah's story, it shows us it's possible to overcome those obstacles.
And just like he rallied a whole community, it reminds us we got to work together. We can't just sit around and wait for someone else to fix it.
It's about, you know, doing what we can, offering our skills, our time, even if it seems like a small thing.
Like one brick at a time.
Yeah. every little bit counts. Every act of kindness, every connection we make, every time we try to, like, heal those cracks, it all adds up to something bigger.
It makes me think about those times when I feel overwhelmed by everything going on in the world, you know? Like, the problems are just too big.
Oh, yeah, that feeling of helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
But Nehemiah's story, it's a reminder that we can make a difference.
Even if it's just one step, one act of courage, just saying, hey, I'm going to be part of the solution.
Right, and that can inspire others to do the same, create this ripple effect, you know?
It's amazing how powerful that can be. But where do we find that, like, inner strength to keep going to face those challenges?
Well, just like Nehemiah, we need to connect to something bigger than ourselves, our faith, our values, our sense of purpose.
It's like tapping into that deeper well, that inner fuel that keeps us going.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up this deep dive into the book of Nehemiah, I'm just struck by, you know, the hope it offers, but also the challenge.
What walls are we called to rebuild in our own lives, right? In our families, our communities? What can we do to answer that call?
Big questions. But Nehemiah's story, it reminds us that even when things seem broken, there's always a chance for transformation.
Yeah. It's a reminder that we can rebuild those broken places, restore hope, and even achieve those impossible dreams if we just dare to rise up and build.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this journey back in time and for exploring these timeless lessons of leadership, faith, and, you know, the power of community. Keep seeking out those walls that need rebuilding. And remember, every brick counts. We'll see you next time.